me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others, and your years to the merciless. Lest strangers take their fill of your strength, and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And at the end of your life you groan, when your flesh and your body are consumed. And you say, how I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers, or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be for yourself alone, and not for the strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman, and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I don't normally do this, but today I kind of wanted to do this because I think it would be helpful for everybody, because I find myself recommending these three specific books over and over and over again right now, and so I want to toss them your way now as a group, and I think it would be helpful. I don't normally do this. I want to start up today with these specific recommendations because it's going to be centered around the topic that we're addressing this morning, okay? And I find all these helpful, and I think that you will too. So if you got your phone in your hands or something like that, or you can write down, I would encourage you to write these three books down real quick. You can also find all of them in audiobook, and you can find all of them in audiobook on the Canon app. So if you've got the Canon app, you can listen to them in your headphones, no problem. The first one is No Mere Mortals. No Mere Mortals by Pastor Toby Sumter. You know Pastor Toby. He's come down for tactics several times and other things that we've done. This is, if you've done marriage counseling with me, this is the book we hit every single time. The first 8 chapters are for men, next 10 handful of chapters are for women, and then we got all the marriage things throughout. So it's very, very helpful, very, very helpful. No Mere Mortals by Toby Sumter. The next one is My Dear Hemlock by Tilly Dillehay. Full disclosure, I have not read this, but my wife and I have talked about it enough to where I am like, oh yeah, this is a good one. Gentlemen, if you want to learn how your lady thinks, there I have given you the key, okay? Like, if you want to know how her brain works, if you're just a single dude in the room and you're like, man, I don't understand women, this will help you, okay? This will help you so much. My Dear Hemlock by Tilly Dillehay. Also, I hear that some crazy Christchurch women made a podcast commentary about it, so you can go find that in the Hugo Pub app if you'd like to later on. The third one is How to Exasperate Your Wife. Yes, that is the actual title. And that's by Doug Wilson. It's a joke. It's not actually about how to exasperate your wife, although it is, and you shouldn't do that. I think those three are excellent books, and I would heartily recommend them. Let's pray and ask the Lord for help. Father, we come to you now as we teach, proclaiming your word, applying your word to our lives. I pray that we would do so faithfully, that you would strengthen and embolden and empower us and help us to do so well, and that we would receive your word of truth with joy and a happy disposition towards you and towards what you would call us to do. Father, as we tread on these topics that some may consider taboo or some may consider too far or uncomfortable to speak of, may we just take comfort in the fact that your word speaks about these topics very bluntly and very plainly, and so we can hear also your word expounded upon and applied in a similar fashion. I pray that you'd help us now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. All right, here we go. You ready? I'm going to embarrass all of you today. You're welcome. I don't know that I will embarrass you harder than I will embarrass myself, but we're all just going to enter into a covenantal embarrassment together, and we're going to have a great time. Here we go. The marriage bed is the foundational building block of the kingdom of Christ. Amen. The marriage bed is the foundational building block, is a foundational building block of the kingdom of Christ. The marriage bed, the union between a husband and a wife, is the means by which God has ordained the creation of people. The creation of people. We got a lot of people being created. And I love that. And our mission as Christians is to fill the earth with people. Go forth, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. In other words, God sent us to conquer the world. He sent us to push back the darkness. Amen? And one of the weapons that he gave us to do that with is sex. So, let's talk about it. Are you feeling a little squishy? You're going to be all right. We're going to make it through this. We've been thinking about marriage and the category of sex and the marriage bed in the wrong way for so long that we have created an enculturation of only regarding it as taboo. And what happens when you do that? Now, you don't talk about it, and the bad guys do. You don't teach about it, and the bad guys get to it first. You don't teach your children, and the bad guys teach them all the wrong ways to think about these things categorically first. And we can't allow that as Christians. We have to reclaim all of this. And one of the foundational building blocks of the kingdom of Christ is the marriage bed. We can't be prudes here. We can't be prudes regarding the way it is discussed and the way that we train our children in it. We are embarrassed and we shy away from the subject. But listen, I need you to understand something. The marriage bed is not just a gift, and it is a wonderful gift. It's not just a gift. It's not just something fun to pass the time. It's not just something to take the edge off. It's much more than that. The marriage bed is not just a gift. It's a means. It is a joy-filled and glorious means of the mission of Christ. It is glorious. The marriage bed, if you'd allow me to put it this way, which if you don't allow me, I'm going to do it anyway. So the marriage bed is a dynamo, okay? The marriage bed is the mechanism that turns and creates electricity. It creates power for the kingdom of Christ. And it does this through a lot of different means, okay? Not just the creation of people, but through a lot of different means. It is the renewal of covenant between a married man and a married woman on a regular and ongoing basis. It is the refreshment of their affections for one another. It is through this that the begetting of children come into the covenant of Christ. And it does this by being the place where a man and a woman become, and I need you to hear me, where a man and a woman become the most vulnerable with one another, yet unashamed. In other words, the marriage bed is the closest thing that we still have to Eden. That's powerful. That means something, and it means something glorious. The marriage bed, in other words, what I want to try and stress to you, the title of today's sermon is The Way of Death. The marriage bed is one of the ways of life. And because of that, the enemy wants to kill it. The enemy wants to destroy. The enemy hates it. A place that looks like the world before the fall. A place where the union of a Christian man and a Christian woman is made stronger in covenant marriage. A place where more little Christians are conceived and born into the world. You can see how much he hates it. He hates it. And so he works to pervert it. And he labors to destroy it. And we can't let him. No, sir. Not here. Not in this church. Not in these families. But before we get there, because we will, okay, and we're going to talk about all the enemy's efforts in order to destroy it. We're going to get to all that stuff in a little bit. Before we get there, and we will get there, I want to spend a moment painting a picture of the right understanding of marriage to help us hopefully get a deeper sense of that direction for the rest of our days. Okay, so I'm starting here, and then we'll get to the way of death. I know we called the sermon the way of death. You know how this goes. I have to send my sermon titles in on Tuesday, and then I start studying the text, and I'm like, well, it's going to be a little different, you know, so I don't know that the titles will ever actually align with what we're talking about, but maybe one day they will. Maybe one day. Here we go. A Christian marriage between a man and a woman is yoked together by God supernaturally. Supernaturally. When a man and a woman make vows to one another, God supernaturally hooks them. What God has what? What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. What God has put together. So when you say, I do, and the other one says, I do, and the minister stands up and says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I now pronounce you husband and wife, kiss that woman. God does something right there. You're yoked. That's powerful. That's amazing. And it's something that we should take seriously. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder, which means that something happens, something that admittedly we don't quite understand when a man and a woman vow to one another and consummate their union. Something happens. It's potent, it's powerful, and from that union that looks like Eden flows the future hope of the world. The hope of the world is that we fill it with Christians by the power of the Holy Spirit through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. By God's grace, this is the hope of the world. Marriage and the babies that come out of marriage are the hope of the world. Why do you think the enemy wants to kill babies in the womb? Because he knows. Because he knows. A man, when he is yoked to that woman, when they say, I do, when they consummate that union, a man is giving his strength to his wife. And he does that for the rest of his life. Men, that's why you're strong. God made you strong so that you can pour that strength out towards that woman and to the children that she bears you. That's what that strength is for. It's not to be wasted anywhere else. It's not to be spent anywhere else. You focus it, you point it. It has a purpose and a design. Everything a husband does in his life focuses first upon his wife and her children and their needs, their future, their provision. He lays down his life. He breaks his back. He destroys his body. He forsakes his own preferences, and he does it all for them, for their sake, every day. And he falls into bed at the end of the day and he wakes up tomorrow with to do it all again with a big fat smile on his face, because that's what God made him for. That's what God made him for. This is the disposition, the proper disposition of a Christian man. He was made to die with joy like Jesus. Amen? Y'all don't believe me yet. That's okay. You're going to believe me more by the end. He was made to die with joy like Jesus. What does the Bible say? For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. For the joy that was set before him is the great calling that God had given him. That's what is every man's calling. For the joy set before every man in the great calling that God has given him for his family, he lays down his life. This is wonderfully and gloriously rich and deep. And when a man gets this, and this is here's my big premise here, premise number one. When a man understands all of this, that man becomes dangerous. Dangerous. When a man understands this, he becomes dangerous. When a man starts to understand his purpose, his primary orientation, what he was really made for, what happens? Everything else falls away. everything else, it's all the distractions start to go. When a man realizes that he is driven to love and to die for this woman and for the children that she bears him, when he knows that, that man is dangerous. All the distractions, all the toys, all the harlots, all the nonsense, he tosses it aside because he's realized something, that there is far more potential in this glory and holy type of death than anywhere else. Unless a seed goes into the ground and dies, it bears no fruit, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. John 12, verse 24. Now please bear with me here. I'm not saying that apart from marriage, there's no purpose, there's no mission. That's not what we're getting at. But we are saying that for those men who are called, which is the vast majority of men, to marriage, this is the way of life. This is the way of life. And in the same way, a woman, when she enters into covenant marriage, she gives her life to her husband. Quite literally, by the way. Quite literally, she gives her life to her husband. She lays down her preferences and she picks up his mission. She lays down her hopes and dreams and she follows. She literally gives her body to him in such a way that there are long periods where she can't do anything else. And this is wonderful. The mission of bearing children is not an easy one. Amen, mamas? Y'all know? Come on. We're going to be quiet about this? The mission of bearing children is not an easy one. And it requires that woman to be willing to die. Not just in the sense that she's laying down her life. You must realize this, okay? Not just in the sense where she's figuratively laying down her life. Not just in that sense. But every time a mother gives birth, there are real risks. Yeah, I know we got modern medicine, we do all kinds of things, and that's true, but you need to recognize this. Every time that mama gives birth, there are real risks. There's a chance, although small today, smaller than it used to be, that's for sure, but there's real risk that she might not come home. But the fruit of those labors, of that willingness to lay down your life like that, the fruit is ongoing, and the fruit is going into the ground and dying, and it comes out glorious. The moment when daddies, I hope y'all have been in the room for this, but there is this moment when labor is over and the baby's out, and mama puts that baby on the chest for the first time. There ain't nothing like that. That's power. And God made it that way. I would wager that for a woman, there's probably not much stronger than that moment. And God made it that way. She loves her husband. She submits to him. She receives him. She lays her life down for him. And from that beauty comes blessing, pressed down and running over. And the children from this union, the Bible says that they are like palace pillars, young trees, fully grown. Olive shoots laughing and singing around our tables, beauty and strength being sharpened and trained and honed to go forward and to build and to advance and to preach and to teach and to love and to one day bear fruit of their own. Whew. Sorry. Marriage union is a dynamo. It's a powerhouse. The marriage union is a means of life, and so Satan hates it with a wicked, evil hatred. And he wants to destroy it. And it's our job, gentlemen, it's our job to keep the borders of Eden. Do you hear me? It's our job to keep the borders of Eden. What does the enemy long that will happen to all this fruit and all this life? The answer is easy. You know the answer to this. It's death. He wants it to die. He wants to kill it. His tactics are told to us in the scriptures. He comes to what? To steal, kill, and destroy. You know. To steal the joy of the Christian family, to kill the seed of the marriage bed, and to destroy our future hope. That's his goal. And our proverb today talks about the woman of adultery, how her path, her feet lead to death. The death of what? The death of everything. The death of everything. You must, gentlemen, listen to me. You must keep the borders of Eden. You must. Everything we just talked about is destroyed by the adulterous woman. All of it. A man is made for one wife. Adam was given Eve. The pastoral qualifiers require the husband to be a one-woman man, and the giving of their strength away by David and Solomon, like Proverbs 5 talks about, like Proverbs 5 warns, the giving of their strength away by David and Solomon led to who? Rehoboam. And the splitting of the kingdom of Israel. The king who by his folly split the kingdom in half was Rehoboam, was the son of Solomon. It is not a coincidence, I believe, that the division of David and Solomon's strength between many women led to the division of the kingdom. And that will happen to yours as well, gentlemen. That will happen to yours as well. If you divide your strength, as Proverbs 5 warns you against, between many women, if you divide your strength between many women, you will not build. You will not build. You will divide. A man's strength was made for one woman. One. Not for other women. Proverbs 31 also additionally warns us that the man should not give his strength away to any other woman. Proverbs 5 and Proverbs 31. It's to be wielded differently. And Samson learned that lesson the hard way, didn't he? Samson literally gave the secret of his strength to a woman in exchange for her bed. And as a result, he lost everything. This pattern is played out over and over and over again in the Bible. Gentlemen, keep the borders of Eden. Bullets are fascinating little things. And some of y'all in this room right now are like, it's not a bullet, it's a cartridge. Okay, whatever, you know. But it's a bullet. Okay, the thing you put in a gun and you pull the trigger and it shoots. All right, that's what I mean. I'm called at a bullet. But bullets are fascinating little things. I was at a firearm safety training class a while back, and the guy teaching the class, he worked for like the sheriff's department, I think down in Lafayette or something like that. The guy who was teaching the class talked about how they would dispose of old, like expired or maybe it got wet bullets, dispose of old ammunition. Y'all ever done this before? Yeah, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. He said that they would roll out a big steel barrel. I'm not making this up. He said they would roll out a big steel barrel and they would throw these shells in it and then start a fire. And I think he said this to try and get us to be like, what? Like, I think he said this to kind of get a reaction out of the class. And it honestly, it worked, okay? But everyone starts imagining, what do you start imagining whenever somebody tells you that story? You imagine Home Alone, don't you? Y'all seen Home Alone, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? He puts the bullets in the frying pan. Is anybody, you know the scenes, okay?
Not Lena.
These movies.